You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers, of course. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for the Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News and the Fieldhouse. Now they're on the other line with me, finally, for our weekly show, a day late, Adam Friedman. Adam, did you listen to my amazing Reggie Miller joke you let me make yesterday?
No, I'm on vacation, Tony. That's why we are for a day off.
I said you're on vacation in the state of Chicago.
Oh.
Because Reggie said that opening night. Some people didn't get it.
He did say that? Really?
Did you hear that? They were talking about Patrick Beverley in like the first night of the season broadcast. And Kevin Harlan was like, he was the state's leading scorer in high school. And Reggie Miller was like, he led the state of Chicago in scoring. It was so funny.
In his defense, I've made that mistake probably.
I know. I said you're in the state of Chicago for your vacation.
So. Not to alien a ton of Illinois viewers, but really the entire state is Chicago, right?
Champagne's fun.
No, I know. There's more in Illinois. I'm just... Somebody doesn't live in Chicago and lives outside in a city not far from Chicago. You just think that Illinois is Chicago and nothing else.
So we wanted to start today by talking about player of the week nominee and currently the best player on the Pacers by a mile, Malcolm Brogdon. Through six games, Adam, 22.5 points, 9.7 assists, 5.3 rebounds, 97% from the free throw line. And his shot's not even been like bad from other places, but it's going to get better just given his history of finishing. How good has he been so far?
Well, he's taken 5 free throws a game, or 5.5
now,
right?
So yeah, he's getting to the line.
That's like double his last year. He's an all-star right now, I guess. I
mean, absolutely.
I haven't done a list, but I'm sure he would be an all-star right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, player of the week nominee this week. I mean, Giannis was amazing and Drummond was amazing, but still, to even be nominated is crazy.
You talk about his shooting splits. I mean, those are just a little bit down. He's taking a higher shot volume. Like, I don't think he's going to be a 16 shot a game guy when this also does that. I think he'll be more like a 13 to 14 range, which you might see him taking a little more efficient shots. Plus, he's, as we kind of noticed, he's kind of had to take some shots just when the shot clock's running down and nobody has the opportunity to. Or in late games, he's kind of just been the guy and missed one or two here or there. So his shooting percentages are not as concerning. I mean, he was shooting like 40 and 30. Yeah, you could be concerned, but 47, 35 was very respectable considering the shot volume.
Right.
And he's doing all the things that make you. If you're a Pacer fan, you're like, oh, you're worried that they signed Brogdon so much money. Was he have injury history, whatever that? Why did the team in the division give him up per se, like so easily? Well, the Pacers said this is why, and he's kind of proving why the Pacers kind of bet really big on him, basically.
Oh yeah, 60% true shooting, even with those shooting splits, because he's getting to the line so often and making literally all of them. He's only missed one the whole year. Is that right?
Free throw.
Yeah. Yeah, 33 for 34. That's just nuts.
Yeah, I mean, he's a money free throw shooter. I mean,
free throw, and that's what's so good, is his free throw rate is 34.7%, right? And his career high before this is 20.3%. So he's clearly capable of getting to the line. Like, they're asking him to attack, and he can do it. He's getting by everybody.
Well, I mean, it's made a weird jump, but it reminds me a little bit of, he was kind of the third, fourth option on the Bucks. Maybe second. I don't know. Middleton and Bonds probably went to an offense at least. Then he leaves them, kind of like the way Harden left the Thunder in the division. And a guy people knew was good but didn't know was going to be this good. And all of a sudden, he's like taking a leap. I mean, it's pretty easy to say.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
He's not at Harden's level. Don't get me wrong. But he's a similar guy. 6'6 guard, a little slow. You're not quite sure if he's like fastest to play in the league but has like some – just has a unique ability to kind of create space inside the lane, as kind of the ability to pick his shots at the right time, stuff like that. And so the Pacers really, like I said, bet huge on him, right? I mean, they gave up basically their next year's draft entirely, plus 20% of their salary cap for a guy they didn't even have on the roster last year. So he's definitely paying off.
They didn't just bet huge on him. They bet huge on him playing a position that they hadn't seen him play a ton of.
Which is kind of the same with Harden, if you go back to it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we're only comparing the patterns of those two players.
I wouldn't make a comparison yet, just because he's not going to be that offensive type of player. But they also bet him to kind of be the number two on this team for the next, let's say, 3 or 4 years. And that's what the deal was. Like,
if this goes with Vic, this man, like that is.
I don't see how it wouldn't.
Insane backcourt.
I don't see how it wouldn't go with Vic. He's all he would do is allow Vic to sit in the corner.
It'd be easier for him.
He'd allow Vic to take offensive possessions off and sit in the corner and hit pull up threes from the corner, which he was amazing at.
And it's so weird because like his floater and his jumper and even his dribbling, it all just kind of looks herky jerky and weird.
It's a little slow. It just works.
It just works.
I mean, isn't that kind of what James Harden does in a way? Like, it feels like it just kind of
looks at least smooth.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Harden is not as smooth as he feels. His step back has gotten really good, so that's fair. But like in the lane, I feel like a lot of it's like sidestep one, sidestep the other way, and then and like this kind of like mechanical motion to get to the rim in a way. But I mean, that's what it feels like a little bit.
Right. And so my biggest, one of my biggest fears, now maybe not my biggest, because there's a giant front court duo that we haven't seen enough yet of, but one of my biggest fears before the season with this team was, you know, we've seen Brogdon be a finisher and Lane be a finisher and Warren be a finisher and Turner be a finisher, but I didn't think they'd have enough passing in the starting five. And now they have it. Like Brogdon is enough. He has, his assist rate is so high, his assist percentage is so high at 46.5% that like he's just creating everything they need. Everyone else is just like the ancillary, keep the ball moving guy, and it's enough.
Well, and I think a huge thing he's done with the team, if you look at, I think they're third in turnover rate, or at least turnovers per game.
Their lowest, I have not looked at that, but I believe that.
I was looking at it. I think they're third. They're second in turnovers per game. I think they're third in like turnover rate.
Okay. Still low. Still good.
Well, last year they were like 17th, and the year before I think they were probably 9 or 10. But I mean, if that's pretty much all him. I mean, he's his ability to just, I mean, I'm not sure what his turnover ratio is right now, but I'm assuming it's in a four number if I looked quick enough.
His turnover rate is actually higher than last year, which is expected because he's finishing more possessions.
But what's his turnover to assist ratio? It's like three and a half to four for a guy with almost 10 assists per game is really
and
good.
And playing insane minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Carlson was doing four, but was only having six assists and not playing 33 minutes a game and stuff.
It's
like
funny
that.
In this win streak they're on right now because they're winning at the beginning of the fourth quarter of all three games, and so in my head I've always been thinking the same thing. It's just like all Nate McMillan has to think right now is, you know, I've just got to wait till the game is at a number. He picks probably five, right? So the game's at nine, the 9-point lead, and he leaves McConnell in there until the lead gets to five, and he's like, all right, I got Brogdon, and we're good, we win. You know, that's just how it's been. He has all the confidence he can just sub this guy in whenever in the fourth, and they're going to be better than their opponents for the rest of the game. And
yeah, and I mean, we had this before the show when we were talking, but like the Pacers' goal right now too isn't to just like they're not. I mean, I guess everybody's goal is to win every game, but honestly, like the scenario is like just remain competitive, beat all the bad teams like you did this past week, beat three teams who might not be playing Brooklyn. We'll see if they become a playoff team or
that
not.
That Nets one was huge, I think, for momentum, just because they're actually good.
I mean, and they should have beat Detroit on Sunday was that? They should have beat Detroit, right? Monday. They should have beat Detroit. So, I mean, you know, and that game was one of the games that was really close, and you just lost a close game, and those games are always coin flips now in the Vic era because Vic was just so good at the end of games that probably won all the close games. But that doesn't – that's not like something to be mad about. But the idea is, like, to float at 500 and beat the Cavs, beat the Bulls, beat these bad teams, or even the teams that are maybe borderline playoffs. Like, if we're talking the Magic coming up, we'll do that. Or, like – the Hornets, to
the Nets, easily
beat. The Nets are the same kind of team, and just do that and beat enough of those to be, let's say, 15-15 or
in the thick of it
when Vic returns, and then Vic slots in, Lamb goes to the bench, then you've got six really good players because I think Lamb has definitely been.
We might have to talk about it in a few weeks, but maybe someone else will have to go to the bench if Lamb can. I mean, he didn't play great against the Bulls, but the other two games since he returned, he has been amazing.
Yeah, but I mean. First of all, I'm not sure you're sending Warren to the bench. He's also been probably as good.
Yeah, he was really good against the man. Yeah, someone has stepped up just every game for the last couple of games.
I mean, it really does feel like they have six good players, and that's like the best thing you can have as a team is have six good. Because I mean, you have a guy on your bench that can just carry you essentially at times. And once they have that, I mean, then it's you know, you put Lamb on the bench, that makes life easier for pretty much every bench player all of a sudden. Because no longer is McDermott maybe the guy focused on the defenses because he's the best shooter out there at times. No longer is, you know, McConnell having to operate with like little space, stuff like that, because he's got kind of two okay 3-point shooters, depending on how people respect Aaron Holiday at times and Sumner. I mean, that's just, it just makes life like way better once Lingo goes to the bench. And so that's the goal, because it seems like so far now after we've been through like six games, nobody on the roster has been below expectations in terms of the top seven or eight. You can talk about the bench guys, we can get there in a little bit.
Well, I was getting,
and then a few guys have exceeded it in a way.
Speaking of bench guy, or excuse me, you said six guys. They actually had seven guys against the Bulls because Leaf was good.
Yes,
you know, well, and we wanted to talk about him because you said everyone's been at least at expectations. I think he's the guy that maybe I'm stupid, but I thought he'd be at like the last guy in the rotation and be at least somewhat helpful. He is not. At the four, you know, he started against the Cavs and everybody thought that was a mistake. You know, I did not even think he had a shot of getting the spot and he did bad. But then against the Bulls, you know, they're like, all right, you're the backup center and we're putting Jakar ahead of you. And I don't know if that lit a fire or just his role as backup center is better for him or the Bulls just didn't expect him to be this. I don't know what happened, but he was massive in that game and he deserves to be talked about.
Yeah. I mean, we should preface the Bulls are not a good basketball team.
They're bad. They are bad.
Their bench is especially bad.
Oh, yeah. It was so weird because in my head they have all this talent, but it just does not look good together.
No, I mean, I think we underestimated. I mean, if you look around the league, is there's just so much turnover now in the NBA. Every year there's 3, 4, 5 guys switching teams, and teams like the Bulls have, what, 3 or 4 new players. The Pacers have 3 new players, and all of a sudden, I mean, pretty much every team in the East outside of, like, Philadelphia who added – Moy added 2 new players. Milwaukee, I guess, didn't add anybody. They're all new teams relatively. So, like, it takes a lot – like, that's why there's not a lot of, like – from like Milwaukee on, there's a bunch of like 4-2 teams, 3-3 teams and stuff figuring it out and stuff like that. And so the Bulls are kind of in that example, except I just think they're also not that good in general. But
yeah, they're bad. but against bad teams, guys don't just surprise you with 15 rebounds all the time.
No, and that's really got to kind of show off is when they play. Like, that's against these bad teams, he's got to just put up those kind of stat lines. Maybe not even 13-15. We're talking maybe like a 13-5 or 10-4, I'd settle for it off the bench with a percentage.
Even for Leaf, though, thinking like to zoom out, right? He clearly Jakar passed him because Sampson started at the four in this game. And when healthy, I'd assume their forward rotation would be Sabonis, Warren, Holiday, McDermott. And if Sampson's ahead of you, like you're fighting for like your life to play. So he might have bought himself a slightly longer leash or a little bit more time with this performance.
Well, I mean, the question is, too, with this performance, did he maybe pass Aaron Holiday for kind of that last spot minutes, right?
If they're doing it that way where they can shift Holiday down. Holiday, by the way, being able to play so many positions lets them do so much.
Oh, I'm thinking Aaron Holiday, not Justin Holiday.
I know, but I'm saying because Justin can play many positions, you can decide between a 4 and a 1.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and plus you can play McDermott at, I guess, 3 or 4, 2. I mean, that helps as well.
Right.
They have a lot of positionless players when you're.
Yeah, Holiday and Leaf had a good game at the same time. Finally.
Yeah, I mean, Holiday looked good this game, so I don't mean he's surpassed him yet, but I mean that's where these guys, Leaf and Aaron Holiday, at least have to kind of make their money on and kind of build momentum on is playing good against these bad teams. You build some momentum and seeing how you know where they succeed in against those teams and then transit that to better teams. But just the first step is like a second year or third year player in Leafs example is just being good against bad teams and being just kind of above
the first
the crop
step
of
is
bench
not,
players who are just kind of constantly shifting in and out of the league.
The first step is not starting 1 for 17 if you're Aaron.
Yeah.
I had to do some research. That's the 5th time ever that over a team's first 5 games a player has shot that many times and only made 1 or fewer. That's bad.
The question is, will that even itself out and they'll have a 17 or 18 run?
He'll just be sick one game.
Oh, he'll just have a 3 or 4 game run where he has like 15 points. Like that, like they had
I asked him about it after that game. You know, like finally you're seeing him go. How does it feel? He's like, well, I didn't feel like he said he didn't feel like he was in a slump. Like he was getting the shots he wanted and putting them up and they just weren't going in. And in my head, I'm like, that's what a slump is. But he's like, he's like, yeah, this is what I want. These are the shots I want. And his shot chart looks good. And to his credit, like none of the shots he's taken have been like bad shots to me. Like they're not contests or anything. It's just, they just aren't going in and that's bad. It's just what's happening.
Yeah. It's like a baseball player. When you hit 300. So most of the year you're in a slump. Like, I wonder if with Aaron Holiday, it's like, cause he started his career off so hot for the Pacers. This is kind of the karma coming back to him that first 3-game run, he was like probably couldn't miss a shot or miss maybe 1 or 2 shots the whole time. So
his debut was so sick against the Hawks last year. That was so much fun.
Yeah, very promising. That's why he's still. Yeah. That's why when he stinks, it's really frustrating.
Is there any other players you want to talk about?
We want to hit Goga real fast. I thought he looked.
Yeah, I mean, just yeah, sure. It's great that he got to start and he had a lot of those. You know, he fouled out like rookie moments and stuff like that. But all in all, I think he looked pretty good for a rookie.
He's a very polished offensive player. I mean,
he really is.
And it's just going to get better because he's just going to get stronger and hopefully a little quicker and stuff like that when it comes to the game. But the dude can just when he's like around the rim and guys are crashing around him, he just knows how to convert, get the ball in the hoop, basically.
I mean, he's just smart on offense, right? He sees what's going on around him pretty well, and he's never in the way, which, you know, I think you see that a lot with the rookies where they're just like slightly too late at figuring out to get out of the way, or they go too early or something. He's never like in the way, and he's got the growing pains of like he doesn't recognize he can get a shot up quickly, or
yeah,
he doesn't see the pass, and he's obviously fouling like crazy, but he did better than most. He's actually averaging 7 fouls per 36 minutes.
Ooh, that's not good. But that's a rookie thing as a center.
That's a rookie thing.
Especially as a center, because you could call for every ticky-tacky thing as a center.
And I don't want to do like the – I'm not – like rookie doesn't matter. Like it's bad. But he mostly did good stuff. And I mean his per 36 numbers is 13.3 points and 9.5 rebounds, like, and 5.7 blocks. Like he's done some good stuff.
Well, and now in the NBA this has become more commonplace. But like a guy being that tall with that kind of touch is just rare still.
Yeah.
I mean there are not many – centers like that who you think could potentially be a 20 plus game kind of player, right? I mean, even now, like Embiid is one, Gobert probably actually isn't, Turner really isn't yet, but like it feels like Goga could be a 20 point a game guy. Just
he's also hilarious.
Yeah, he's also very relaxed and calm.
He's such
also
a funny guy.
Yeah, hopefully it's more funny than like Embiid, where it sort of like kind of feels like.
Well, with Embiid, even his rookie year, everybody was like, ha ha ha, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, but Embiid's gotten annoying. I mean, I don't know about you.
I like Embiid, though.
I mean, I like him as a player, but he's just annoying now.
The thing with guys like Embiid who talk like that, I don't mind as much when they're really good, you know?
Yeah.
Like they clearly can back this up, like Jimmy Butler, Draymond. It's like it's when guys like Delly. I'm like, okay, relax, Delavita.
Yeah, but Embiid's problem is he hasn't proven anything yet, still. I mean, I'm not saying he won't.
Embiid? Yeah, he has. Are you kidding?
Yeah, but not to the extent that he should be talking smack.
He doesn't want anything, but he's proven he's very good.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, the level of smack he talks to reminds me of, like, and I was barely alive this, but like early 2000 Shaq when they, but like Shaq could back it up because he was going to put 35 on you and he was going to win MVPs and win 60 games and be that. You know what I mean?
Where Embiid's a top 10 player. I mean, he's there.
And yeah, no, Embiid might get there. I'm not saying Embiid's not going to get there. I just think right now it's kind of like.
Yeah, fair enough. I get why people don't like Embiid, but I personally enjoy
it. Can you win a couple MVPs? Can you win a championship? Then you can start, you know.
If Goga gets the aura Embiid has, that'd be great for both the Pacers and for me.
Well, I mean, he does have some of that touch, but Embiid was just a bigger body. I mean, Embiid's just got some size. Right. But we'll see. We'll see what it goes about. Certainly it's exciting, and it feels like there's a between Goga, between Sumner, and after a decent holiday Leaf game, I mean, it seemed like there's a nice young core growing because the first five games, it felt like Goga probably couldn't knock the first five games, but it felt like just Goga and Sumner were going to be the pop and it was going to be Leaf and Holiday falling out into the abyss eventually.
Yeah, everybody's finally looking a little better and stepping up. So that's good stuff.
We should play the Bulls more often.
They looked good against the Cavs too. But
yeah, and they've got some easy games coming up too, so that'll be some good time to show off.
Ooh, look at you, Mr. Segway. I appreciate that. Yes, four games this week again because screw having lives, including the first back-to-back of the year tonight and tomorrow. So let's preview some games, Adam. The Charlotte Hornets, who I thought were going to be the worst team in the league. Pacers play them in Charlotte tonight. Ironically, the team I thought would compete with them for the worst team in the league is the Cavs, and both of those teams are better than the Bulls and the team the Pacers play Wednesday, so at least so far.
I haven't actually looked at the standings fully yet because it's
The
it's
Hornets too early are 3-3, and the Cavs have two wins, while the Wizards and the Bulls just suck.
Yeah, the Knicks are terrible. And then in the East, I guess the Warriors probably be the worst team maybe now in the East.
The Warriors are like one of the worst teams in the league. They're bad.
Well, I mean,
the Magic are also
two best players are hurt. I mean, it's.
Oh, I know, I know. They have a reason to be bad, but they're still bad.
I mean, I love this. This is just a side note, but I love how, like, people are like, oh, the Nets are bad right now. Or the Nets look so bad, and they're not going to work.
The Nets
like,
look fine.
No, but it's also like when you're paying 40% of your cap to a guy, you're not going to be good. You might be okay because you have a couple other good players, but when you're paying that much to a player who's not playing, you're just not going to be great. You're just not. It's just what's going
to
happen. I mean,
the Hornets are 500, which is surprising to me because they played the Warriors and the Lakers already. Obviously, again, we just talked about the Warriors. Mostly based on some okay offense. It's not good. They Adam, we can do the numbers now. I love
them. Oh, yeah, we can. You want me to do it or you want to do it?
I have them in front of me, but you can do the Wizards if you want.
Okay. Well, I have Hornets, all them in front of me, but you can do it.
The Mighty Hornets are 23rd in pace, 20th in offense, 26th in defense. None of those seem very good because they're not, but they got their asses handed to them by the Lakers, which deflates some of that stuff.
Yeah, well, they've lost four games by a lot of points. Like they have
three games by a lot of points, and they won.
Sorry, three by a lot of points. They have they have those bars in people ref, and it's like small little ones in green for win, and then the red would just shoot down like 20, 30 point losses.
So, Locked On Hornets host Doug Branson, he is the man. He emailed me today to give me some talking points about the Hornets because he's a super nice guy. Devontae Graham and PJ Washington is the two guys that he pointed out as guys that are popping. I was wrong about PJ Washington. I was not super into him in the draft. Well, let me rephrase that. Through six games, I am wrong about PJ Washington. That is obviously not enough. But I did not think he'd be very good, and he's looked great for them. And then Devontae Graham, I mean, no one had an opinion of him, and all of a sudden he's like the best shooter ever. So, yeah, they've gotten some surprise contributions to help them be 3-3.
Yeah, frankly, the one thing I know about the Hornets so far this year is Devontae Graham, just because he's been the surprise of the year, I think is the fair.
Wasn't he like 7-for-8 from three in their first game or something?
Yeah, isn't he shooting like 41,
47% on six attempts a game?
Yeah, I mean, that's
great. That
Man, this guy's going to be the greatest point shooter of all time.
Move over Steph Curry. There's a new best shooter from Charlotte. Yeah, he was 6-of-7 on their first game and 6-of-9 in their second game, and then has been very meh since.
I think it's fair, and maybe we're jumping the gun here, but I think, first of all, their two wins come against probably the two worst teams in the league, if we want to call Sacramento. The
Bulls and Warriors are both bad.
Two of the five worst teams.
And they beat the Bulls by one.
And, well, actually, no, they beat, really, if you think the Warriors are one of the worst teams, the Bulls and Sac, they beat three terrible teams.
They did.
That's what they did.
But they did it.
So they did, but what I'm saying is it's fair to say this is probably not sustainable. I mean,
no,
we can,
it's not. And
we can talk up all this kind of stuff, but this team is bad. The Pacers should beat them, even if they're down. Both their centers. I'm saying all three of their top four players are going to be down Vic no matter what.
And you're saying exactly Doug's second point was the Hornets are without a designated go-to scorer. That makes a lot of sense. They have a lot of young guys who really don't know the place in the NBA yet and are figuring it out, but like that makes you bad, right? They don't have an option they can just go to. If you stop their shot or whatever early in the possession, it's going to be very hard for them to score.
Yeah, they're in the first year, probably was a three-year rebuild before they're even competitive.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, they're probably two more drafts of top five picks before being like competitive, and then maybe one more top 10 pick kind of thing. Like early stage Hawks.
They're trying to run. You know, they're basically the way they score, right? Because they don't have a good set offense at this point, is they just try to get stops and run, but their defense isn't very good either. You know, name a plus defender on this roster. It's kind of hard at this point. I mean, I think Dwayne Bacon and Miles Bridges just can't get there. They're just not there yet. And Batum is hurt. They're just very low on plus defenders. So the Pacers should continue to attack the rim against this team. You know, I love Cody Zeller, but he is not a good rim protector. And, you know, they're without Biombo's just not good anymore. They're without Batum. It should be easy to drive past anyone on their team. Their goal against the Bulls, maybe not their goal, but something they focused on against the Bulls was attacking the basket. And I think if they make that effort against the Hornets, they'll have no problem winning this game.
Yeah, I think if we want to switch to like butchers and X factors real fast, I think the one player who could maybe, and we did already make the Pacers pay, is Devontae Graham, just because assuming Brogdon's going to guard Rozier, Graham will have some combination of Warren Lamb on him, I'm guessing.
Graham didn't even start. I mean, I guess he's a sixth man. But
yeah, but is he playing like 30 minutes? So he's going to play.
Yeah, he's playing a bunch.
I mean, then I was going to say, then we go to the bench, we're talking Sumner maybe?
Won't even play, though.
Yeah, Sumner won't play probably. So then we're thinking.
No, definitely. He's out.
Oh, he's out? Okay.
Already listed out. He's out for like 2 more weeks.
Oh, he is? Okay.
You're way out, Mr. Vacation.
Yeah, I've been way. Okay. to be honest, before the show, when he said Turner was out 2 weeks, I had heard week to week. I hadn't heard 2 weeks.
He is week to week. Agnes reported that he thought it would be at least 2 weeks. Heard it'd be at least 2 weeks.
Okay, so then we're talking like what? I'm trying to think who's guarding him then. Aaron Holiday?
Still, yeah. Or like point stands, TJ McConnell, whatever.
So Graham is probably the one guy who will make this team pay, but I'm not sure even if he's playing at his best, they will win.
Yeah, and Doug said Rozier's played kind of hard and smart, and he's still Terry Rozier, and he's
not terrible. Shooting splits aren't terrible.
No, 43, 35, and 73, that's okay.
Very okay.
His quote is perfect. He said, on a good team, he would not be worth his contract, but on this team, he's a steady force that pushes the pace and defends well.
Right. You know, like, good for Terry Rozier for getting paid. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. One playoff. The Hornets are home to the guys who had one good playoff series and got paid for it with Biombo and Terry Rozier.
Yeah, well, in their defense, Biombo is because they traded for him to like $9.
That's true. That's true. So yeah, because they ended up trading for Miles Plumlee's terrible contract.
I'm just surprised they haven't traded for Jan Mahimi. That's the one other guy that's kind
of... Yeah, the only other butcher I think you could think of is, to me, well, I guess Miles Bridges is kind of exciting. I don't know how much he can create off the dribble. I admittedly have not watched a Hornets game yet this year. A little bit. I watched a little bit of their Lakers game, but... Not a ton. PJ Washington's been pretty good for them, though. If he can create a little bit, he could be a threat just because they're, you know, the four position is kind of weird, especially if Sabonis doesn't start. It could be another Goga Jakar front court. And they did well, actually, together, but that opens up holes for other teams' front court to do well. So I think I'll go with PJ Washington.
Yeah, I think Sabonis, we're not sure. Questionable, I think, for
still questionable
today, so today's game. I guess. X factor wise, I mean, it's probably just play every game, but
dude, you can pick anyone.
Well, Brogdon's probably the one. I mean, if he can shut down the top of the key, of you know,
yeah, the two big scorers for them are both point guards. So
yeah, not or not,
two of them.
Kind of the flow of the game or whatever should be.
Yeah, he's a good.
You probably expose him on the other end pretty easily too.
Just, I'm gonna pick a wing because the Hornets' wings are terrible. Like okay. Especially with Batum out, Dwayne Bacon is their best wing. Do you know anything about Dwayne Bacon, Adam?
The name sounds familiar. That's about it.
I believe he was Florida State. That might be the only thing I know about him. I want to look that up.
That sounds familiar.
Feel right. If that's right, I'll feel great. It is Florida State. Look at me go. But yeah, their wing situation is not good. So one of Lamb and Warren should be due for a big day, especially after seeing Warren's last performance. And Warren just talked to the B-ball insiders and the team guys. And, you know, he's saying he's feeling more comfortable. If Warren can have a big game, I don't think there's any way the Pacers can lose.
Yeah, and I think we both are picking them to win.
We are, and we both did before the season as well.
All right, I think that's fair. I guess I'd probably be doing the next game too, right? 5-game win streak going on now.
Yeah, my Wizards are bad.
Oh, right. So you're a Wizard. That's right. I forgot.
My Wizards are third in pace. They're fun. They're fast, and their offense is good. They're sixth in offense. They're 27th in defense, and they are about to start Isaiah Thomas. So their defense will be even worse going forward.
Yeah,
Bradley Beal's really good.
Yeah, they'll be fun to play, I guess, because they'll score a lot of points, maybe.
They scored 158 in regulation on the Rockets, and they lost.
Did you love how James Harden then, and that was like, they asked him how he won, he went defense, they started coughing, and like...
What a stupid game.
Yeah, that was...
The lowest scoring quarter for either team was 34.
I honestly can't tell whether the Rockets are just like going to coast to like probably 45 wins and then make a run in the playoffs or just
be their defense terrible. Is atrocious.
They're going to make the playoffs, but they're just going to be a bad playoff team or they just, or I can't tell.
Their defense
but
is so good. You know what would make the Rockets really good at them?
What?
If they traded Russell Westbrook for like Chris Paul or someone or, like of that skill level?
Maybe Bradley Beal even too.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
How so would you like, if you're the Warriors, how would you like to have two Max, Dean,
Wall, and Russ
player on the extension stage. Max guys who have 40% usage ratings and aren't actually that good anymore.
So the Wizards are just canning threes. They're actually eighth in the league in 3-point percentage. Davis Bertans, who they acquired because the Spurs were going to sign Marcus Morris, and then he backed out of that, hitting half of over 7 threes a game. He's been tremendous for them. But obviously, Beal is the guy.
Yeah, I think this also the study that the Wizards pretty bad is they allow opponents to shoot 57% almost.
Wow.
37-3, that's not like the worst, but 57
opponent, from 2-point range, maybe.
Yeah. Opponent yeah, sorry, from 2-point range, sorry.
Yeah. Yes, they are not protecting the rim very well.
No, that's sorry. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Thomas Bryant, for all the great things about him, two IU grads at center back to back for the Pacers' opponents is fantastic. Thomas Bryant is a terrible rim protector, so. That's yeah. Where they can get some easy points. Again, tagging the basket should go far for them.
Yeah, I mean, right. If Bronny can stop Beal this game, that's pretty much game.
Yeah, Beal hasn't shot the ball that well this year. Under 40%. He's still scoring a lot because he's shooting a ton and getting to the line, but not good for him so far.
So, is outside of Beal, is Isaiah Thomas the other butcher pretty much as possible?
Probably. I mean, Bertans is a finisher, so just stay home on him, and you can limit what he can do. I mean. He keeps scoring 14, 10, 12, whatever points. So clearly that's not it, but it you know, just be cognizant of where he is at all times. Other than that, no one else. I mean, Rui Hachimura, their rookie, their Japanese rookie, has been pretty good, but nothing about
him. He's fun to watch. Good to see.
If he's super athletic, but nothing about his game wows me just yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's also 21, so give it a little bit of time.
Right. Yeah. So they, and they're like the Hornets in that their wing situation is terrible. I mean, they're like CJ Miles and Isaac Bonga are going to be in their rotation on the wing. Troy Brown, it's just not very good. So could be another good Liam Warren game. There's a lot of guys who could have good games, but I got to go front court here because I don't think Bryant can do anything defending inside. Neither can Bertans. Sabonis should be back for this game. So let's go Domas for this one.
Okay, that's fair. I'll go not Brogdon because I think he is, but
you could pick him every game.
Yeah, you could. Probably Jeremy Lamb, I guess, would be the X factor in this game.
Right, Beal can't really defend, and he's bigger than Beal by quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm not even sure who Beal's going to guard, to be honest. I mean,
who does Beal guard Thomas every game? Hey,
what does he guard? The best player on the team? I don't really know who. I mean, is there anybody?
He's actually an underrated defender. I'm being a jerk, but
I think if Beal was on a good team, he'd be a decent defender. Kind of that kind of thing.
Beal's
awesome. No, I mean, I think Lamb, as we noted earlier, has been this week was especially just really good. And if he continues that, he kind of is the one thing to help carry the Pacers through this Vic-less run, even with that. Maybe the Vic-less miles this run right now. So, I think Lamb is somebody to watch.
Yeah. All right. We got two more games coming up after this break. Man, I have no idea what to expect from the Pistons. I haven't seen them play yet. Why is this is so dumb that they played three times in their first nine games.
The question is, can they actually beat them for once?
The Pistons only have three wins.
Two against the Pacers.
Two against the Pacers. They have, like, Pistons fans, I keep seeing them tweeting things like, should we be worried and all this stuff. I'm like, you guys have beat the Pacers twice. Like,
yeah, but the first game, they beat Pacers, a team that didn't really know what they were. First of all, they should have maybe lost both games, if you look at it, really. I mean,
if Kennard doesn't have some lucky bounces, the Pistons lose both times.
Yeah, so I mean, there's that to it as well. They still, right? Blake's gonna still be out throughout the week, so.
Well, he might be back by then. I don't know yet. We'll
the report says until the first week of November, which is about right now. So I don't know what.
Yeah, it's gonna be close. Well, here's the other thing though. Have you read the rest of their injury report?
Yeah, we got Reggie Jackson's out.
All three point guards.
Well, Rose looks like he's day to day, so we probably play by Friday.
Yeah, they need him because Reggie Jackson's out for a while, and Tim Frazier's hurt too. Like. They need something. Their other options are like Bruce Brown, maybe? Kennard? I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll find – who do they play this week?
They play the Wizards, and then I think that's
the Knicks.
It. Wizards, the Knicks. Yeah, they got three. I think they'll be fine by then, but, you know, they got to have something.
Yeah. I mean, after that terrible start, the Pacers could be in line for, like, six straight wins.
They need to beat the Pistons, but it's every other year, right? One year, if the Pistons just own the Pacers, the next year, it's the other way around.
Yeah, you would hope by this game, Sabonis is back. So that's
yeah, that'd be nice, especially if Blake doesn't play, because Drummond's gonna get his ridiculous 20-20 game, and we'll go, they can't stop him once again.
So then this is a big game for Sabonis to prove. Could he Drummond get 18
right. points. Every Drummond is averaging 22 and 19. That's insane.
Yeah, that's like Shaq era stuff.
He's insane. 19.
He's also shooting
61. Like, I get that Miles isn't a great rebounder. In fact, he definitely is below average, especially for a center. But like people who are like, oh, look how terrible he was. It's like, no, Drummond is that good.
Yeah.
There are other games where Miles has three rebounds and you go, okay, that's not good enough. But the Pistons is not a team that I really care about.
Yeah. He also shoot. I mean, the underrated thing about Drummond is 61% from the line. No, sorry, 64% from the line, which is huge for him. If he shoots that well.
Yeah, you can't foul him anymore.
Yeah, if he's make that many. I think he shoot close to 70 the second time these teams played. I mean, Drummond is we do it again. Basically, Drummond and Kennard are the two butchers.
Rose has been good. Rose is over 20 points a game if he's playing.
Yeah. I guess it just feels like those are the two guys that have killed the Pacers the most.
Yeah. Kennard, 45, 44, 91 splits this season. He's been really good.
Yeah, so it's half his shots are threes, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. He's really finally figuring out his niche here. I've always liked Kennard. I feel good. I feel good about always liking Luke Kennard.
Well, they're really committed to getting him the ball when he's on the court, if you notice that. They're like –
Right. I mean, well, now he's starting. Now it's a little different.
Okay. That's right. He didn't start the last time they played. But Dwayne Casey has made an effort to make sure he gets the ball. I wonder if he's still staggered with the bench a little bit too. Because he was closing with them. So he didn't like he wasn't playing as many minutes before. He did close the starters, at least the second time around.
Well, Frazier and Reggie Jackson are out, which is a
problem. Yeah. So is Ewan Kennard going to keep the starting job, I guess?
Like Rose Kennard is kind of weird, but Kennard with any of the other point guards is good. So I don't know what they'll do.
I mean, Rose Kennard's probably fine, right? I mean, Rose is not.
Yeah, no one else is touching the ball, but they're good.
mean, Rose is 6 assists per
game. Those guys are good.
Rose is averaging 6 assists per game, not the worst.
Yeah, no, he's had a great year. Credit to Derrick Rose for being good.
Yeah, getting kind of back. Yeah, I mean, so we named those two budget. I mean, unless
obviously Drummond, Rose, yeah. Kennard. One of the can we do a no Drummond division? But then we're both thinking Kennard and Rose, right? So
yeah, so I think that's fine. X factor wise, I guess you want to go first this time, or you go first last?
Ooh, well, especially with Reggie Jackson out, their only good guard defender is Bruce Brown, and Bruce Brown is good. If Bruce Brown doesn't go 3-for-3 from deep in that second time these two teams play, he's also not a good 3-point shooter at all. The Pacers beat them that game, so. If you isolate Bruce Brown, you know, you got to do well on him. You got to pick a shooting guard. Jeremy Lamb has got to have a good game. You know, Bruce Brown's a really good guard defender. They're going to need some guard scoring. So Jeremy Lamb is going to have to do well.
Okay. So I had this happen last time, and it kind of did towards the end of the game. But I think TJ Warren is the guy for this game.
Yeah, he figured it out. He almost carried them to victory himself.
Yeah.
And then he threw it away.
Yeah, if he had realized that there was 10 seconds on the clock and not two, he would have probably, because he really left him kind of open, at least go, what, they were down two at the time, right?
So we got, it's easy for us watching to be like, you idiot, how did you not know how much time?
No, but it's hard.
I know, yeah. I was gonna say, and it's got to be way harder when you're playing,
but that's kind of what separates the great from the good and the bad players. The great players, right, like, just have an awareness of everything going on at every moment and can make plays and know, because like I think they were down either one or two at the time, so he didn't need a three to win the game anyways, and he could have gotten the rebound.
The thing is, they had a timeout. That's where the problem is.
Yeah, I messed. But then you're in the corner trying to throw the ball, and that's not the easiest thing to do either. Right. So I do understand maybe wait, but like he one had the ability, because if you look at the play again, basically the entire like drive to the rim opened up. So like he could have just, if he had, knew he had 10 seconds to put the ball on the ground and try to go towards the rim, or kick it back out to somebody like Brogdon, then call a timeout and reset the whole thing would have been the right move probably.
Right.
But he's not shooting well right now. Warren obviously isn't, from three at least. He's been god awful. He's like 12% or some shit like that. But I think he's kind of due for a game where he just like maybe has 30 points, because he really hasn't. I mean, this card game he had 26, and maybe we're starting to see this week a couple games like that. But I think he's sort of due for the TJ Leaf or TJ Warren. Sorry, not Leaf. TJ Warren. We kind of thought he could be kind of run here. I think both you and I thought he might be like a 20 close 20 point a game kind of guy. And he's more like 15 right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think he can get a little better. That's it.
I think it's efficiency is part of it for him.
You got to get familiar if you're a scorer like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's finding it hard. Yeah, I think with his Suns, even with Booker, he was playing a lot with the bench unit and kind of being like the guy, if I'm right. At least that was 2 years ago. That's what he did.
Somewhat, yeah.
Right, at least 2 years ago, that's what he was doing. So I think he's finding it hard to pick his spots and stuff like that, because he's playing with a much more – maybe he's playing with a much smarter team, so he's not just getting the ball in isolation, but he's actually getting the ball like in spots he's not used to, but are actually better for him.
No, I think you're right about that.
So I think for him,
all his threes have basically been corner threes, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's basically adjusted to like, oh, that's right. If I could take corner three and hit that at a good rate, like we're going to be really good. But he's got to kind of get used to, like, I don't need to be the guy that has to get the ball top of the key and make two defenders somehow, like kind of beat two guys or beat one guy to the rim and then draw another defender and try to get fouled. Like I can just be the spot up shooting kind of guy.
So Sunday, by the way, the Pistons, I think, are the most likely game the Pacers lose this week.
I agree with you. I think they'll win, though, for some reason.
Your gut is right more often than I care to admit. Sunday, they play the Magic, and I kind of thought the Magic were going to be okay this year. They are 30th in offense, Adam. Their offensive rating is 95.5. Guess what they're shooting from the field as a team?
Okay, I just have their top stats up. As a team from the field as a whole, 35%.
39.7, which,
okay, I wasn't sure how low to go.
Still under 40 is horrible. That is terrible. And it'll get better at some point, which means Terrence Ross against the Pacers means he's going to have like a million threes. But their offense has been bad.
But they're sixth in defense, so they're not like...
Their defense has been great. Their defense is... And their defense was great last year.
You look at their defensive numbers, they're basically top 10 in every kind of major defensive.
So last year from like the stretch, I don't even remember what it was. Basically after the All-Star break to the end of the season, they were like a top 5 defense, and that's why they made the playoffs. They figured out how to play defense. But their offense is gone, and now they're starting Fultz, which is interesting.
Yeah, I feel like it's always been their thing. I mean, they're a weirdly put together team, so the offense never going to get it would
work. Right, they have no wings. They're putting four.
Yeah, like they have like too many centers and they're not enough guards. Like not enough, even they have like a lot of short guards and stuff like that. It's, yeah, none of it made kind of sense.
Their leading scorer is Fournier.
Yeah.
Well, Evan Fournier should not be your team's leading scorer.
Barring a return of Fultz to something like he was
Yeah.
before he
Yeah, they're just weird, right? Aminu's playing a bit on the wing. They're just funky and odd.
Yeah, they're the kind of team where it felt like they found something last year and they kind of doubled down on it. And I don't know if last year is an indication of they
doubled down on like a peak six seed kind of team.
Yeah, that's right. I think they really thought the team they have is a consistent playoff team. And I think honestly, last year might have even more been a fluke than anything. In a way.
Yeah, Vooch was really good last year, right? That helped a lot because they actually had an offensive hub. And he's not been bad, but 43% shooting for a center is bad. A lot of that is bad three-point shooting. He needs to be better for them to be better. I mean, he was the reason. He was a lot of the reason they were actually capable of scoring last year, and they don't have that.
I mean, to me, the thing that makes their team better would be somehow get rid of Aaron Gordon, because I feel like he's a player who maybe won't get a ton of value, but you get a good player back from that fits in your system better.
Right? Yeah, Aaron Gordon
isn't just sort of – he's just sort of off in this team still. It just doesn't work. I don't know.
I don't know when it's going to happen or how old he's going to be, but he's eventually going to get traded. And his new team's just going to be like, yeah, here's the ball. Go play the four and drive the basket and dunk.
So I really do wonder this, and I don't know what the numbers, like the cap works, right? But like, could this be a potential D'Lo team in a year?
Yeah, 100%.
Right? So, I mean, that's where – because like, I feel like Aaron Gordon would really fit in the Warriors system because he'd kind of just be like the Harrison Barnes role almost,
like,
in a way.
Depends how good Fultz end up being this year, but if he's kind of like a meh prospect kind of guy, like Aaron Gordon and Fultz for D'Lo, sign me the hell up. That makes a lot.
Because to me, it feels like the Warriors' move right now is be a top five team, trade that pick for a good player, like kind of like – the way basically Anthony Davis got traded for. Maybe you can get the Wizards to shake loose Bradley Beal and make a Beal, Clay, Steph backcourt work, because honestly, I think you can make – I know that's like a weird combination. Like, and then you just sort of snag D'Lo's contract for two good players, and then you got a 6 or 7-man team that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why – I mean, they just feel off to me, the Magic dude, and I feel like they're probably in for a year where they probably float around 35 to 38 win kind of projection, and maybe they hit a little run and they get to 40 or 41, but – and I'm going to still make the playoffs. I don't know what the eights is going to be in the East. It might be 39 wins anyways, but that's what I feel like to them. And it's like the Pacers should be able to beat them, barring the return of Sabonis. But I think that Sabonis, they're probably not going to win this game.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think the Magic are very good. I don't either. I was kind of into them being like a late in the playoffs kind of team, but like one of the last teams in, or maybe the first team out. But they're – I mean, maybe they'll get better on offense. Like, they won't be this bad, obviously, but their offense is worse than I thought, and they are ipso facto worse than I thought. I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, I will say, when it comes to defense, I feel like that's what translates to more wins than awesome offense, but maybe I'm just like an old
more regular mindset. Season wins, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We do have to account for the fact that the Magic have an MVP on their bench, Terrence Ross, who could completely swing this game in their favor.
Yes, that's also very true. He's killed the Pacers last year. Like three.
He is my butcher, by the way. Terrence Ross is my butcher.
Mine will be Vooch.
Well, and kind of seriously, too, because the Pacers don't really have defense in their bench guards right now without Sumner. So,
yeah, I'll go with Vooch as a butcher because I think he's just an awesome
player. He's so good. He's an all-star last year. He's a very obvious pick. Nothing about Fournier scoring 17 points a game scares me at all. I don't know why. Okay, go ahead. Do it.
Well, because there's like they have their top four scorers are 16 a game, and 10 and 11. That's like just not good. Poof. Like you look at the Pacers' top like six scorers, they're all like closer to 15 to 20 range, even.
Yeah, their offense is bad. The Magic's offense is bad.
Yeah,
they have a bunch of 4 or 5 guys playing a three. That bodes well for a TJ Warren game for me. So he's my.
That's a fair. I mean, who's a starter I haven't picked yet? Are we thinking like
– I have another good one, though.
This Leaf? Is this a Leaf game or maybe it's a good game?
I was thinking you're on the right track. Right, Leaf Dave? Who's their backup center? Adam, do you have any idea?
Who their backup center is?
His name is Ken Birch.
Okay, I assume
Ken Birch is fun and skilled, but I like Goga, too, if you want to pick Goga.
Doesn't Aminu play some like kind of small ball five? Am I wrong about that?
I have no idea. Isaac's playing. Jonathan Isaac's their starting three right now. So
what? They're starting. Oh, my God.
I guess Gordon, maybe, whatever.
They're starting Isaac at the three, really?
They're starting Isaac and Gordon. So whoever you want to call the three between those two.
Oh, well, definitely it's Gordon then because they suck.
But Gordon is taller than Isaac, I believe. So.
Well, isn't. Oh, yeah. Gordon's an inch shorter, at least on the ball. Oh, okay. I don't know what the fish
are. Okay, then Gordon might be your three. Yeah, Gordon is.
Gordon is playing three because he's played up his entire career.
9.
Let's see.
What are you doing, Orlando?
We can do by position. So Gordon's. No, you're right. Isaac's playing 88% of minutes at the small forward and Gordon.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And his power forward. No, I don't.
Yikes.
Yeah. So Aminu is playing.
Oh, Mo Bamba, too, who he also stinks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Goga. Goga would be a fun pick.
Goga or Leaf?
Their backup centers are junk right now. I actually like Ken Burch. Maybe I'm being too mean. Yeah. Ken Burch net rating this season, according to Basketball References, has to be wrong. They have to be estimating here. Is a negative 49.1.
No, that's what it looks like.
That has to be wrong.
Or
I know we're on a time crunch, but I'm very curious what that number actually.
Well, he's played two games and he played 27 minutes. So
how do you even have a negative 49 net rating? What happened?
Well, look at the – I'm looking at the guy below him, Wesley. I can't pronounce
Wesley
last name.
Iwundu?
Iwundu. He's got a negative 82. Okay. Or 83.
Those are definitely wrong. All right, let's see what happened when Ken Burch played. All right, 45 points on 57 possessions with Ken Burch on the floor for the Magic. That is an offensive rating of 78.9. That is horrible. And they gave up 73 points on the other end in 57 possessions for a defensive rating of 128. That is a difference of actually 48 points. Holy crap. That's right. horrible.
You just did a bunch of magic to this
It's so bad. Holy cow.
Yeah. Not a good basketball.
Wow. Yeah, Goga. I rescind my TJ Warren pick. You can have it. I pick Goga. That's horrible.
Like, I think there's a real chance the Pacers finish this week and end up being like 7-3. Like,
yeah, say, I think 6-4 is what's in my head. I don't know what
they'll probably be 6-4, but
last week we said they'd be 3-3. We just didn't pick the right wins, you know.
I think Brooklyn could be the sneaky win.
Yeah, we did say that. So I think, I don't know. I think they win both of the back to back, but I don't think they win both of Detroit, Orlando.
Yeah, I could see them losing the Washington game because of the back to back and they're kind of down guys.
Yeah,
and then win Detroit, Orlando. That's more what I'm seeing, but
those are like the fake home games, the second game of back-to-back home game.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
I guess it's not as bad. I don't know. I mean, looking just ahead of schedule, I think this team could easily be like 9-3 before they head to Houston, or maybe 8-3.
Yeah, they got that big gap after Milwaukee. They have a one game in 5 days that'll help.
I mean, we talked about this before, but they just don't play a lot of good teams. Like the end of the month, literally between now and the end of the month, they play what? Philadelphia's good. Maybe Atlanta's
good. Philly, Houston, Milwaukee, and Utah, who are legit, obviously.
Yeah.
That's it.
But the rest of the team, they could beat, and they could easily, then it might be 500, which I think is a win.
Yeah, their schedule looked like it was kind of front-loaded, but now the Magic are bad, and the Pistons are not very good, and it's really, really
And often it's not that – it's. I mean, till Christmas, there's really not a ton of good teams they play. I think then they start hitting the Torontos, Miamis, Rangers.
We'll see. Yeah, all right, man. I got nothing else today. It's going to be a fun week.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll learn a lot about this team this week.
I'm just excited they're back to being 500, because now we can get over the whole, like, everybody freaking out, this team terrible, they're going to go in the whatever.
That was stupid.
It's like,
I remember when I said 10 games, I feel really good about that now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with 100% 10 games.
I felt really good about it then, too. But
they might be 7-3 for 10 games, so that would be really good.
Maybe that's also a poor assessment of how good they are, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, now that's overreacting.
You can follow this show on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. We haven't tweeted anything but the show for a while because, again,
fans
on vacation.
Stuff on Wednesday, I think.
You will?
I did. No, last I did stuff on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Right. That's almost a week away, Adam.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Time is getting away from you.
It really is. I've been on vacation. Sorry,
vacation,
guys.
Adam, is a bum.
I watched both games. I just didn't tweet it.
You can follow Adam at Friedman Adam 5 and me at T East NBA. That is all for today's show, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.